This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
And he finds out, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he finds out that everybody is saying that the Prophet is insane. This is what they call propaganda nowadays. Propaganda is so powerful, if you say it enough times, if you say the same thing over and over again enough times, the world starts believing it.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, khaliq al-wujud min al-adam, wa ja'il al-nur min al-zulam, wa mukhrij al-sabr min al-alam, fa mulqi at-tawbati 'ala an-nadam. فنشكره على المصائب كما نشكره على النعم ونصلي على رسوله الأكرم بالشرف الأشم والنور الأتم والكتاب المحكم وكمال النبيين والخاتم سيد ولد آدم الذي بشر به عيسى بن مريم ودعا لبعثته إبراهيم عليه السلام حين كان يرفع قواعد بيت الله المحرم فصلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أتباعه خير الأمم الذين بارك الله بهم كافة الناس العرب منهم والعجم فالحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا والحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا والحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا وصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا إنا سنلقي عليك قولا ثقيلا وقال سبحانه وتعالى بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المدثر قم فأنذر وربك فكبر وثيابك فطهر رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي واللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله واللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين. In today's brief khutbah, I'd like to share with you something about two names of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah has given him two descriptions in two surahs of the Quran. One of those names is Al-Muzzammil and the other name is Al-Muddathir. Both of these names were given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the early seerah, because both of these surahs were revealed very, very early on in the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let's first talk about the word Muzzammil and where it comes from. In the Arabic language, the word Muzzammil comes from the word Zamil. And a Zamil in the old times was the Arabs used to travel on the camel with a lot of their goods. But sometimes they have too much product, but not enough room on the camel. So they would get a friend who's going to get his camel, and he's going to carry half the goods for you, you're going to carry half the goods. So now there's two camels and they're both carrying the load. And that friend that is carrying the load for you, that's called a zamil, because he's carrying the other burden. Al-muzamala, sometimes they don't have a friend. You can't carry. So they came out with a system where they have everything tied up, all the goods are tied up, and they have a rope, and there's the other half is tied up, and they put it on top of the camel, so both sides are carrying the load. That's called al-muzamala. When you put the load on both sides of the animal and you're taking the animal, it's called al-muzamala. The word zimil, actually means a load, a burden. And from it came the idea that when someone is covered in a blanket or covered in something that's heavy, something heavy, like a thick blanket, then they are called mutazammil, and you can also call that muzammil. It also means someone, even if they don't have a blanket, you can use the word muzammil to describe someone who is under a lot of pressure. There's a lot of load on them, and so they are muzammil. And there's a relationship between these two things. When someone is extremely overwhelmed, they feel like they cannot handle the pressure, it might be that they lie down and they cover themselves in a blanket. It's actually covering yourself up, or putting a blanket over you and wrapping yourself up is an expression, is a way to describe how overwhelmed you are, how under pressure you are. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received revelation, and it was an enormous amount of pressure. He just saw it, the angel Jibreel. He's being told to read. And this pressure makes him immediately come home, and he tells his wife Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, Zammiluni, Dathiruni, cover me, put a blanket over me. I need something heavy to cover me. And then Allah uses this word in the beginning of Surah Al-Muzammil, and says, Ya ayyuhal muzammil, the one who is covered in a heavy burden, the one who's covered in a blanket. The use of this word is a form of love from Allah for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah is letting him know, I know that this is a lot of pressure. I know that this is very difficult for you. Now, when someone is extremely stressed, someone is under a lot of pressure, and they have a pressure from Allah. This is an expectation from Allah. Because in life, there are two kinds of pressure. One from Allah and the other one from people. Right? This is the one from Allah. Allah wants to help you navigate even the pressure that He puts on Him. How do you deal with it? Allah gives Him the solution to rise to the occasion. He says, قُمْ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, stand up and pray tahajjud. If you pray tahajjud, then you will be able to handle the pressure. So Allah didn't just give him an instruction, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a solution. In fact, not only will he be able to handle the pressure, this is just the beginning. The job is going to get harder and harder and harder. So Allah says, after that, He says, إِنَّا سَنُلْكِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. We're going to give you a heavy word, heavy responsibility. We're going to put it on top of you later on. So to prepare yourself for the heavy responsibility, you have to stand in front of Allah. The pressure is coming from Allah, and you have to turn back to Allah also. You have to turn back to Allah and face that pressure. That's the journey that the Prophet had to take early on to prepare for his mission. The first preparation was he has to stand up in front of Allah and recite Quran slowly to Allah in the middle of the night. And that's the story behind Al-Muzammil. But then there's another word, Al-Muddathir. Similar, it can also mean someone covered in a blanket. But Al-Dithar was also used for the winter. In the Arab world, the winter felt like a storm. Like, you know, when the sandstorm hits the sand hits the skin and it hurts, the cold wind hits the skin and it hurts, and it gets inside the bones. So when someone was feeling so much cold from the outside, they would run home, get inside, and immediately cover themselves in the blanket. And this ad-dihar li-tadaffu, it's actually to warm yourself. That's when you use the word muddathir. So muzammil has to do with pressure, and muddathir has to do with warmth. with warmth. That's why actually dafir is also used for trees that have a lot of leaves. Lots of leaves, lots of coverage. And the idea is when you go outside and the entire environment is covered in freezing cold, you are covered in the cold. Everywhere you turn is cold. You have to get inside and you have to immediately cover yourself. Protect yourself from the environment. When you study the tafsir of the surah, you find that the Quraysh were coming up with a different plans for how to attack the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One discussion was maybe you should call him a poet, a sha'i. And people like Walid ibn Mughira, Akhnas ibn Shuraiq, other people said, no, we know poetry. If you call him a poet, this will not work. People will not believe it. We have to have a better campaign against the Prophet. So other people said we should call him a kahin. A kahin in old Arab times, kahin is someone who speaks to the jinn. Kahin is someone who speaks to dead people. Kahin is someone who can tell you the future. So these people that speak strange language and they say weird things, he's just one of those people. They said, no, we know how the kahin speaks. He doesn't speak like a kahin. That's not going to work. That's not good enough. Okay, so he's a magician. Let's call him a magician. Let's call him a liar. They keep coming up with different ideas. And they're having a meeting to discuss which one should we say. Because لَبُدَّ أَنْ عَلَيْنَا عَلَىٰ قَوْلٍ وَاحِدٍ. We have to agree on one campaign. Because if I call him a liar, if Abu Lahab calls him a liar, and Abu Jahl calls him a magician, and Walid ibn Mughira calls him a poet, then they're all contradicting each other. It's not going to work. They have to have a unified media campaign against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they said the most effective campaign is he is insane. He's insane. Why do they want to say he's insane? When someone is insane, and if someone looks crazy, and they're talking crazy, and they're coming close to you, what do you do? You get away from you. You don't want to talk to them. Get away from me. You cross the street. If we spread in Mecca that he is insane, that will also mean that he is dangerous. That means before he even opens his mouth, everybody will cross the street. Nobody will even listen to him. The Prophet's mission is just beginning, and already the richest people in Mecca are having a meeting and they're discussing what should we call the Prophet, and they all agree we should call him what? Insane, crazy. And they don't just decide this. Now they spread this to all their workers. They spread it to all their people. They spread it to, because some of these people are politicians. Some of these people are wealthy. Some of these people have lots of people working for them. They spread it to everybody. Now they did, 5, 6 people decided this, but 5, 6, 7, 800 people, 1,000 people, 5,000 people, everybody's calling the Prophet what? Insane. And his mission is to give dawah. How is he going to give dawah when nobody wants to listen and everybody calls him insane and runs away? And he finds out, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he finds out that everybody is saying that the Prophet is insane. This is what they call propaganda nowadays. Propaganda is so powerful, if you say it enough times, if you say the same thing over and over again enough times, the world starts believing it. Right? I mean, after 9/11, you know, I lived in America. I was in New York during 9/11. But after 9/11, every Muslim was a terrorist. And every time, and on the media, all the time, Muslim terrorist, Muslim terrorist, Muslim terrorist. Every time I got on a plane, and I have economy seat in the back. So when I get on the plane, you go through the first class and the business, and then you go to the back. And when I go, everybody looks scared. Everybody's seen Malakul Maut. And so I just say, hi, hey, how's it going? You're next. Like, but they all look terrified. Why? Because they've heard this so many times. Now they believe it. And it's especially more entertaining if I have a backpack on. Right? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is being called insane. So you know what? The entire world has become like the freezing winter. He can't go outside. Before he even opens his mouth, oh, there's the crazy guy. There's the crazy man. There's the insane one. There's the insane one. And the Prophet ﷺ is overwhelmed with the extreme conditions outside. Just like the winter is extreme conditions outside, he's now facing extreme conditions outside. So he is covering himself, stressed, not knowing what to do. He has anxiety. How am I going to do my job? There's too much opposition. They're not going to listen to me. Allah gives him the solution. Allah says, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, the one who is covered up to find warm, qum, get up, fa'andir, go warn. Go warn. Go in the freezing cold. Go outside. Go talk to people who don't want to listen to you. Go stand up and do your job. Allah didn't say, qum fa'andirhum, warn them. Allah didn't say warn them. He just said warn. What difference does it make? If you say warn them, then you mention them. If you don't say warn them, you're not even thinking about them. You're only thinking about your job. What's your job? Warn. Whether they listen or they don't listen, they walk away or they don't walk away, that is not your problem. Your problem is your job. Your job is warn. Whether there's a them or not. Whether it's one person or 100 people, whether they're laughing at you or not laughing at you, whether they're running away or not running away, you just do your part. That's it. Qum fa'andir. I told you there's two kinds of pressure. There's pressure from Allah, there's pressure from people. Ya ayyuhal muzammil, qum al-layla illa qalila. When the burden is from Allah, turn to Allah. When the pressure comes from society, don't run to Allah. No. Take your blanket off and go face that society. Go face it. Sometimes students ask me an interesting question. Ustad, where do I find motivation? I feel overwhelmed. I don't know how to be motivated. This surah has one of the most amazing answers for motivation. When someone is covered up in a blanket, someone is exhausted, someone is depressed, someone is feeling powerless, they need motivation. Allah did not motivate him. Allah did not motivate him. Allah just told him to what? Go, get up. What is he not motivated to do? He is not motivated to get up and warn. And Allah says, just begin. You know what the best motivation is? Just start. Stop waiting for some motivation. Just begin. Just begin. Get in it. Get involved. And I studied this some time ago, and then recently I was talking to a psychologist about motivation. And he showed me some interesting research on people that are looking for motivation to do exercise. And they did study on people that want to be motivated to do exercise. One of the most interesting finds, the people that were the most motivated to do exercise were the people that were told, just do the first day. Don't worry about anything else. And the first day they did exercise was the biggest motivation for them to come the next day. That meaning doing it instead of waiting for some outside force was the motivation. The action is the motivation. Not some motivation will eventually lead to the action. And that's what Allah does with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I know you're overwhelmed. Doesn't matter. Stop thinking about it. Stop worrying about the opposition. Stop worrying about the pressure. That's not, all of those obstacles were also created by Allah. Abu Jahl was also created by Allah. Abu Lahab was also created by Allah. The Quraysh were also created by Allah. Allah allowed them to say what they're saying. He gave them permission to say what they're saying. And they're doing that. But you know what? All of that is there just so you go stand up and no matter what, you do your part. قُمْ فَأَنْبِرْ وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. And then even the words وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. Think about that. When we say قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا in Surah Al-Muzammil, this is the last thing I'll share with you. You stand in tahajjud. What's the first thing you do when you pray? You say Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And you start the prayer. Allah tells in the next surah is not about prayer. The next surah is about da'wah. It's about da'wah. And what does Allah say? وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. But takbir is in salah, right? Takbir is in salah. Now, when you're in salah, do you think about other people or you only think about Allah? Only think about Allah. Allah is teaching the Prophet ﷺ that just like when you say Allahu Akbar and you only think about Allah, when you do da'wah, don't think about the people, only think about Allah. وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. Just like salah is ibadah, da'wah is also ibadah. And just like in that ibadah, it doesn't matter who likes it and who doesn't like it, you're going to make salah because it's for Allah. The same way when it comes to da'wah, whoever likes it, whoever doesn't like it, وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. You're going to make salah. And by the way, in salah, you have to have pure clothes. Yes or no? You have to have pure clothes. But in da'wah, Allah says to the Prophet ﷺ, وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَحِّرْ. Keep your clothes pure. What is Allah doing? Allah is creating a munasabah. He's creating a correlation between ibadah and da'wah. Because they're both acts of ibadah. And because they're both acts of ibadah, our mindset is the same. The same way Allah will give you strength when you turn towards Allah, the same way Allah will give you strength when you get up and warn and stop worrying about people. Treat it as an act of ibadah. And you'll be fine. And that these two words that Allah has given us, that I started with and I'll conclude with, one of those words, al-muzammil, was about feeling the burden and pressure, feeling under the weight of something. And the other was about feeling afraid of the outside world. So there's your internal burdens, al-muzammil. There's your external burdens, al-muddathir. Your internal burdens will be fixed when you develop an internal relationship with Allah. That's prayer, salah. Humilayla illa qalila. Your external burdens will only be fixed if you face the external world. You don't run from the world, you face the world. You have to turn towards them, take the blanket off and go and face. These are the amazing surahs of strength and of confidence and of purpose. May Allah Azza wa Jal allow us to be inspired by these beautiful names of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah honored the messenger with alayhi salatu wa sallam. And even made surahs named after these beautiful names. So we know that they're not something small. They're something very significant for our messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, and for all of our lives. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim, wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-Hakim.
I hope you guys enjoyed that video clip. My team and I have been working tirelessly to try to create as many resources for Muslims to give them first steps in understanding the Qur'an all the way to the point where they can have a deep, profound understanding of the Quran. We are students of the Quran ourselves, and we want you to be students of the Quran alongside us. Join us for this journey on bayinatv.com, where thousands of hours of work have already been put in. And don't be intimidated. It's step by step by step, so you can make learning the Quran a part of your lifestyle. There's lots of stuff available on YouTube, but it's all over the place. If you want an organized approach to studying the Quran beginning to end for yourself, your kids, your family, and even among peers, that would be the way to go. Sign up for bayinatv.com.